Well, there's nothing more. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to detour tonight from our study of 1 Samuel. Hopefully we'll come back to that soon. But in John chapter 6, we're going to prepare our hearts and our minds for the Lord's Supper. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper at the end of the service. And so we want to take one of the probably one of the hardest teachings that Jesus ever gave, one of the most difficult things that he ever told the people there, and consider what the Lord is saying to us through it. So in John chapter 6, and this is a lengthy chapter, and we're going to take a good portion of it, but let me just set the stage a little bit. In that the first part of the chapter deals with one of the times when Jesus fed a vast multitude with a very small amount of food and just performed a miracle. And so that's a part of this. The people are drawn to him. And he told them, he said, "You're not drawn so much because of the miracles, even the works I'm doing, but because of the bread." And you know, I've heard it said that the way to reach a man is through his belly. Some of the ladies are saying, "Yeah, pretty much." Folks hadn't changed a whole lot. They were still really focused on eating and drinking, Brother Garland, believe it or not, back in this time. And so, and some of us are still today. So, you know, it's something we share. But Jesus is taking this and he is trying to introduce a new element of truth to them, that the bread that they have received, well, that's temporary. And he's going to compare it here to Moses and the manna in the wilderness. But he's going to give them a truth that's far greater and has an impact for us today as well. So chapter 6, verse 41. Chapter 6 and verse 41. And if you have found your place and if you're able, would you join me in standing in honor of the Word of God and of the presence of God in this place? John 6:41. "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Then Jesus said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread that which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray tonight that you would make it plain and clear to us. And I pray you would give us grace to understand a precious truth from your Word and of what the Lord Jesus has done for each of us. And then, Lord, as we approach the time when we will receive the Lord's Supper, I pray that you'll give us a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for who you are, for what you've done, of the blessings of salvation in our life. And Father, we thank you and praise you. We love you, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor. We pray together in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Jesus gives the Jews. Now, you got to remember, this is speaking to a larger group than just his disciples. There's a wide variety of people who are listening. Okay? And so there are some who believe, but there are some who are following only for what they're receiving, what they're getting. And they don't really understand. And Jesus is kind of stirring it up a little bit. He's kind of creating some issue for some of these who are kind of bandwagon believers. You know, they're following because it's kind of the thing to do. They're following because, boy, this is a big thing and it's exciting. And so we're going to see what happens next. Well, Jesus is about to trim the herd a little bit, if you will. So he gives them this teaching, and he's been already addressing in this passage that he is the bread of life. And he contrasts himself with the manna that God gave the people of Israel in the wilderness. And, you know, we've talked about that. It'd be an amazing thing if you had to feed a big crowd of folks. I mean, some of these folks were cooking at camp for us, and it took quite a bit. I think when we went and bought groceries on that Monday, I think we spent $1,500 on groceries plus what was donated. And for a week, you know, of around 50 people to eat. And when you divide that out by meal, it's not too bad. But, you know, it takes quite a lot. And some of us can eat quite a lot. Well, the Lord had this group of people he brought out of Egypt, and Moses was leading them, and it tells us, it doesn't give us a specific number of people who were there in the group, but it says over 600,000 men. And so if there were 600,000 men, that would lead you to believe that there were probably about an equal number of women, maybe. And then some children. Some of those men had kids. Some of them might have had 2 or 4 or 6 or 8. So, you know, that begins to add up pretty quickly there. And a conservative estimate would be 2 million people. It might have been more than that. And that's what God brought out of Egypt. Well, you can imagine the logistics of that as you try to feed and clothe and provide water for that many people in a desert area. It'd be a challenge if we were, you know, bringing 2 million people through the state of Arkansas to feed them all. And this was an area that's very parts of it were very remote and desert-like. So Jesus compares himself and what he has come to do. He says in verse 49, he says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." He said, look, they ate this, you know, it's called in one place the bread of angels. He said, they ate this, but they still died. It kept them alive. It sustained them. It nourished their bodies, and it helped them through that time. And God provided for them. You know, and it's an amazing thing that for 40 years after they disobeyed God and they wandered in the wilderness, they went 40 years around and around in the wilderness, and God provided for them, fed them. And it says their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. I had to think there'd be some frustrated folks in that crowd. Be wanting a new wardrobe, but there's no need for one. Clothes didn't wear out. And so Jesus is contrasting here, and He's given us the fact that there is a new reality. There's a new truth that is being revealed. And it's breaking into their senses, but it's a difficult thing for them to get a hold of. And it's still difficult for some people to get a hold of today. But here's what Jesus says to them. He says, I am that bread of life. And He says in verse 51, I am the living bread. I am the living bread. And, you know, today we've got a lot of people who are trying to fill up their life with all the stuff. Some of you remember Stuff Mart from VeggieTales. Okay, some of you aren't so blessed. But we take consumerism to the nth degree in this country. And those of you who've traveled and been in other countries, you know what some of those places can be like. And I remember reading the account just a month or so ago of a lady who had come to the U.S. from Venezuela. And Venezuela is a country that has been ravaged basically by socialism. And it's been reduced to a place where people are literally starving to death. And they're fighting and they're rioting and there's no food to buy. And it's a very difficult thing, but it told about this lady coming to the United States and walking into one of our grocery stores. And she said when she walked in, it was just overwhelming because everywhere she looked, there was food. And there was plenty, and there was variety, and there were all these different choices, and there were all these different foods that she could buy. And she knew that her mom and dad back in Venezuela were doing without, were having little to nothing to eat day by day. And so, you know, we've gotten accustomed to not just having food and the things of life, but man, we can go to Sam's and we can buy the industrial size, you know, 55-gallon, we can get the huge amounts, that boy, we just think we're set. And yet, that's all temporary. It may feed our body for today, but it cannot meet the need of our soul. It cannot change what we are on the inside. And so as much as people try to fill up their life with everything good and they try to find something to give them contentment, give them peace, give them joy, give them happiness, yet here we find the real answer. Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the bread from heaven. And everything else, it's going to fall short. Well, so there's a clear distinction here that the outcome, when you eat the bread you eat Wonder Bread, you eat whatever brand of bread you like, well, that's great, but Jesus said, I'm the living bread. And so He brings life to us. And then the other distinction that He makes here is that He has come from heaven. And He's the only one who can say this. There's nobody else ever that's been able to say that He's come down from heaven. You know, Muhammad can't say that. Confucius, you know, whoever religious folks you get into and around the world, they can't say that. And yet Jesus can say that. And I noticed at one point in there, he says, your fathers. You know, I don't know if you caught that when we were reading through, but he says, your fathers, you know, and how that God provided for them in the wilderness. But he didn't say our fathers. Why? Why not? Because God was his father. He was virgin born. He had no earthly father. And he was descended from the race of Abraham, just like they were. But yet, he was God come in the flesh. So, he has come down from heaven. Well, you know, here's the thing that I think, what I see today is people want, more than anything else, is they want to be happy. They just want to be happy. And it's a good goal. It's a good aim. It's something that we all really, we want. But most of the stuff that the world has to offer to make us happy, to bring us the joy and the pleasure and the fun, well, it's temporary. It's not from heaven. It's from right here somewhere. And it's going to end up on somebody's junk pile, or it's going to be thrown out, or it's going to be used up. And then where's our happiness going to come from then? Jesus said, I've come down from heaven. And I am not the bread that you're going to encounter down here. I'm the living bread. I've come to fill up your life and fill up your heart with my presence. Well, now he goes on here because, you know, they're listening, but they're kind of bothered. First of all, we saw that at the first that they say, wait a second, we know this guy. We know his mom and dad. We know his brothers and sisters. We know where he's from. What's he talking about? He's from heaven. And so they're already kind of, you know, they're listening, but they're kind of suspicious and they're unbelieving and they're not at all sure about this. And so verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh. And this is where things started to separate out. Because people immediately reacted and they said, how's this guy going to give us his flesh to eat? I mean, it sounds kind of weird even to us today. And he's not content to just leave it there, though. Because notice in verse 53, the Jews were fussing and arguing about this. And he says, verse 53, verily, verily, truly, truly. Literally in the language, it's amen, amen, I say to you. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, he's really stirred the pot now. He's really upset some people. He's really made some folks uncomfortable because he's talking about them eating His flesh and drinking His blood. What kind of a weird teaching is this? What kind of strange thing is Jesus giving? Well, here's what he's saying. The bread that he is giving, it's his body. And it's not going to be divided out between the crowd and given out, you know, to be eaten. He's not going to be chopped into pieces and they're going to eat his flesh that way. He's going to give his body for every person. He's going to give his life. And so what we come down to here is that this is talking about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. You know, when we think about the cross and everything Jesus did, we need to be reminded that what Christ did at the cross is a sacrificial offering. And it is a substitutionary offering. That means that He died in your place. He died and He gave His body and His blood for you. He did that so that you could be saved and you could be forgiven. You know, we were just reading in our witnessing class, Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what Christ has done is He has given Himself to pay the penalty of death that is on every man, on every woman, every person. We've all been condemned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty before God. We're all deserving of God's punishment. I keep waiting for a big amen. Well, I understand it's not really, you know, fun to think about, but we're all guilty before God. And Jesus stepped up and He took our guilt. And He took our shame. And He took our sin. You know, we read this morning, Jesus looked down at that man lying on the stretcher, paralyzed. And He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He forgave his sins just like that. But you know what? Those sins didn't just disappear into thin air. They didn't just go away because He spoke a word. He paid for those sins at the cross. He knew that when He forgave this man's sin lying there, He knew that what that meant was He was taking those sins upon His own self when He died on the cross at Calvary. And He was suffering there to pay the price. So, when He tells us here that He is the living bread and that we have to eat His flesh and drink His blood or we have no life in us, it's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross and what He's done for us. Now, some folks use this verse today to teach that when communion, or some folks today call it the Eucharist, when that is practiced, that the bread becomes the actual flesh of Jesus. And the blood, or the juice that we use, we don't even use wine, we use grape juice, but you know, that the juice becomes the actual blood of Jesus, and that Jesus is crucified afresh. He's crucified all over again in that moment. But folks, frankly, that is a unscriptural. That's just a false teaching, and there's verses they use to try to support that. But the bottom line is no. Christ has died on the cross once and for all. Hebrews tells us very plainly, it's happened one time. It will never be repeated. Not ever. So, you know, tonight when we observe the Lord's Supper, He's not being crucified again. This is a remembrance. This is a memorial supper. We're remembering what He's done. And it's a wonderful object lesson because we have the bread representing His body. We have the juice representing His blood. And we have the opportunity together to remember the price that Christ has paid. How much more could He give than His body and His blood? Well, He really couldn't give any more. He gave everything He had to purchase our salvation. And so tonight, we have the living bread. And we have life through it. And it's not through a ritual we do. It's not through receiving the little crackers and juice and whatnot. That's not it. It's through that gift of God to every person, if we will receive it. And I'm thankful tonight that God loves us like that. And I'm thankful that He offers us the free gift of salvation. And it's an awesome, awesome thing. Well, what we see in the text is that the Jews, boy, they really struggled with this. They had big debates about it, and the end result of it, we didn't read it, but verse 60, when many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And that word "hard" there, it means literally dried up, just tough, you know, hard. They said, "Who can understand this? Who can understand?" And but folks, when you come back to verse 51, he said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh." So, in a moment, as we receive the Lord's Supper, you know, our relationship with Jesus, well, it's there because of the cross. It's there because of His sacrifice for us on the cross. And without that, we don't have any salvation. There's a lot of folks today who, and they have been through time, but there's a lot of folks who want to do away with the blood of Christ. They don't want to hear about that. But you know what? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness of sin. There has to be a payment. There has to be a payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. There has to be a payment. And that was why in the Old Testament they used animals to sacrifice. Well, we don't do that anymore because Jesus has paid our price. And we have life. We have life. So, as we receive it, the elements of the supper in a moment, just remember. Just think about what Christ has done for you. What He's given. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "For God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so, it's literally greater than I think we can even grasp and get a hold of. Well, before we receive the supper, let's take a moment. Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's respond to anything He's saying to you before we do this. The Bible makes it very plain, very clear that the supper is to be received with an understanding of who He is and what He's done. And it's to be received with a heart that is surrendered to Him. And if tonight there are things in your heart that aren't what they should be, I want to invite you to just turn that over to the Lord. And we're going to just have a moment to pray and seek the Lord. And if God's speaking to your heart, you answer His call. Now, if tonight there's someone here who would say, "I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Never been saved. But I know I need to be." Well, you can be. I want to invite you to do that tonight. You can come. Just take my hand and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. And I'd love to pray with you and share with you and help you in any way I can to encourage you in that." And whatever other needs you have, would you respond to the working of the Holy Spirit in this moment? Heavenly Father, we bow tonight in Your presence, thankful, grateful. Lord, we are blessed. You've given all. You've done everything so that we could be saved, we could be forgiven. And I pray tonight that You'd remind us of how great our sin was, how awful our sin was, and what You paid, what You gave to pay for my sin, Lord, just for mine. Father, I pray tonight that You'd help us to love You more than we've ever loved You before. Father, help us to enter in and to praise You, to worship You, to give You glory.